Chapter 34. Angela felt as if someone had walked over her grave. There was no reason for the icy coldness between her shoulder blades. She often stayed after hours and had never felt nervous about working alone. There was something comforting about being surrounded by the wisdom of the ages. She thought she had heard a voice call out. She wasn't sure. She had been focused on the Meriwether Lewis material. The only other person in the building was her boss. Perhaps Helen Woolsey had said goodnight. Angela sat back in her chair and breathed a sigh of relief. She had been playing a waiting game, hoping Woolsey would leave the building by the time the Trouts returned. She could barely contain her excitement. She had much to tell them. She cocked her ear. Silence. Something didn't seem right. Angela rose from her chair and walked across the silent reading room. She stepped into a darkened corridor and flicked on the light switch. The hall remained in darkness. She'd have to call the building superintendent in the morning. She started down the corridor, walking toward the glow that seeped out around the edges of Helen's door. She stopped and knocked softly. No reply. Helen must have forgotten to turn off her light. Angela opened the door and entered the office, only to freeze in mid-step. Woolsey was still at her desk, her hands folded neatly on her lap, her head angled back like a rag doll's. Her mouth was wide open, and dead eyes stared at the ceiling. Reddish-purple bruises marred her pale throat. A silent scream echoed inside Angela's skull. She put her hand to her mouth and fought the impulse to vomit. She slowly backed out of the office. Her instinct was to run toward the front door. She stared down the unlit corridor, and a primeval sense of danger stopped her from bolting into the gloomy shadows. Instead of heading for the entrance, she sprinted back into the interior of the building. Adriano's hulking figure stepped from the gloom. He had jammed the light switch with a pocket knife and had expected the young woman to panic and rush into his arms. But she had turned and run the other way, like a rabbit escaping into its warren. Adriano's blood was up after killing the Watcher. That had been easy. The thought of a challenge cheered him. The kill was much more enjoyable when it came at the end of a hunt. He passed Woolsey's office and glanced in at his handiwork. Woolsey had been the latest in a long line of watchers embedded in the Philosophical Society. The watcher system went back centuries. Watchers were quietly engaged in centers of learning around the world, their only job to sound the alarm at the first hint that the secret had been uncovered. 2 centuries before, another Philosophical Society watcher had warned of Jefferson's findings. The watcher was one of the academics Jefferson had asked to translate the words on the vellum. The destruction of Jefferson's papers was supposed to have ended his quest, but the connection to Meriwether Lewis was discovered, and that loose end had to be tied up. Woolsey's job was to report anything unusual having to do with Thomas Jefferson. The tender whose task was to keep in touch with the watchers had no idea of the significance of the artichoke file. By the time it reached Balthazar's ears, the government had sent people in to collect the originals. Woolsey intended to fire the young woman for going over her head, but her telephone contact instructed her to say nothing to Angela and to install a listening device in her office. Woolsey had called again to report the Trouts. In making the call, Woolsey had sealed her own death warrant as well. Adriano had listened to every word of the conversation between Angela and the Trouts. Balthazar had ordered Adriano to take care of Angela and to terminate the Watcher's services at the same time. Loose ends. More loose ends. Woolsey was told to make sure Angela stayed late. Adriano had showed up at the museum after hours, dispatched the librarian, and unsuccessfully tried to ambush her assistant. He continued along the corridor, methodically trying each door. The offices were all locked. He came to a four-way intersection and sniffed the air like a keening hound. Click. The sound of a latch closing was barely audible. Adriano's senses were at their height during a hunt. He turned to his right, following the passageway to a door, which he opened, and stepped into a dark room. Adriano had never been in the library but knew its layout well. After Angela had discovered the file, he had sent people to scout out the building. He considered himself a professional and wanted to acquaint himself with a potential killing field. He knew that the darkened room housed thousands of books stacked on tall bookshelves that were laid out in parallel rows. Angela had ducked between two rows when she heard the door open and close. She had been headed toward an exit at the rear of the room. She was sure the pounding of her heart would give her away. Adriano hit the light switch, and the room was flooded with light. Angela dropped to her hands and knees and crawled to the end of the row, then along a narrow aisle between the ends of the shelves and the wall. Adriano's hunter's ears picked up the shuffle of knees and palms brushing the floor. He strolled along the aisle. He took his time, pausing to peer between the rows of bookshelves before going on. He could have found Angela in a second, but he wanted to prolong the hunt and increase the terror of his prey as long as he could. After checking out several rows, he saw an object on the floor and walked between shelves for a closer look. It was a shoe. Another lay a few feet away. Angela had slipped into her stocking feet to muffle the sound of her movement. Adriano chuckled softly and flexed his fingers. "Come to me, Angela," he crooned, like a mother calling for its child. Angela scrambled to her feet and ran for the exit door. Quick steps padded behind her. A hand reached out and grabbed the back of her blouse. She screamed and pulled free. Adriano had purposely let her go. He liked to play with his victims. Angela plastered her back against a bookshelf. Adriano turned down the next row of shelves and his baby face peered over the tops of the books. "Hello," he said. Angela turned and saw the round blue eyes. She tried to scream, but the sound was caught in her throat. "Angela!" A woman's voice had called her name. Adriano's first instinct was to attack the intruder. He advanced toward the sound of the voice. He would batter the newcomer to the floor, quickly dispose of her, and then return to Angela. He rounded a corner and saw two people near the door, a red-haired woman and a man who was even taller than Adriano. They seemed startled by his appearance, but rallied quickly. "Where's Angela?" the woman said. He said nothing, but there was an audible whimper from the stacks. "Angela." They showed by their aggressive posture that they had no intention of yielding. The man started toward him. The woman was circling around behind. Adriana wasn't used to resistance. The situation was becoming complex. He feinted toward the man, then hit the light switch and ran for the exit door. He opened the door and fled the room. "Angela, are you okay?" Gemme said. "It's the Trouts."
"Be careful," Angela warned. "He's after me."
The room lights came on again. Angela rushed out and threw her arms around Gemme. Her body was racked by sobs. Paul made a quick survey of the room. Then he opened the exit door and stepped out into the hallway. All was quiet. He returned to the stacks room. He's gone. Who was that creep?
I don't know, Angela said. He killed Helen. Then he came after me. He knew my name.
The front door was unlocked, Paul said. We got lost trying to find your office and heard your scream. You say he killed your boss? Although she hated to go back to the murder scene, she led them along the corridor to Woolsey's office. Trout pushed the door open with his toe and stepped inside. He went to the desk and put his ear close to Woolsey's gaping mouth, but neither heard nor felt her breath. He hadn't expected her to be alive after seeing the angle of her head and the marks on her throat. He stepped back into the hallway. Gamay had her arm around the young woman's shoulders. She saw the grave expression on her husband's face and called 911 on her cell phone. Then they went outside and stood on the front stairs to wait for the police. The patrol car showed up within 5 minutes. Two Philadelphia police officers got out of the car and, after talking to the Trouts and Angela, they called for backup. They drew their guns. One went inside while the other walked around the building. Adriano slipped out from behind the shelter of a tree growing in a small park across from the library entrance. The red and blue lights from the police car reflected off his soft features. He stared with curiosity at the tall man and the red-haired woman who had interrupted his hunt. Another cruiser screeched to a halt, and two more policemen got out. Adriano melted back into the shadows and left the library grounds without being seen. He was a patient man. He knew where Angela lived, and when she came home that night, he would be waiting.